Guy Sebastian at 3BA and Choir. It's 24 away from 9. Cyberbullying, it's real. It is a thing. And sadly, it goes on far too much. And a bloke who's trying to make especially our school children and the parents of those school children aware is leading Senior Constable Des Hudson. Good morning to you, Des.
I'll get it right this morning, PT. Good morning, PT. How are you?
Very, very well.
I saw your name when you rang me yesterday, and I just associate PT with morning, even though it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, good morning, PT.
Yeah. Rang Des. Good morning, PT. Yeah. Oh, no, it's actually 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but, you know, whatever floats your boat.
That's right, exactly.
Before we get to cyberbullying, Blue Light Discos, you've run them very, very successfully over the years, and they're hopefully coming back this year.
Yeah, we'd love to get them back up and going. I've registered our Ballarat Blue Light to get our QR code, just got to come up with our COVID-safe plan and then check with our vols that they're happy to come back. But a lot of the schools I've been kidded, kids are saying, when's the next blue light? When's the next blue light? So clearly it's an activity that the primary school kids love to attend, and we love putting them on. So hopefully, if not June, hopefully July, we can then kick off again.
Yep. Now, another program that you run on the physical education side of things is Blue Edge, which is hugely successful.
It is. This is a flagship program from Victoria Blue Light that applied to the federal government under their Safer Streets program in 2019 and received funding. And Ballarat, we stuck our hand up to be one of the four pilot sites, Ballarat, Shepparton, Dandenong and Fitzroy. Basically, what it is that kids in secondary school are turning up to participate in an 8-week program, 2 mornings per week. We've partnered with Phoenix College, have the gym open from 6:30 a.m. in the morning. EDGE stands for Educate, Develop, Grow and Empower. And in each of the programs that we run, we work through physical fitness, being active and just some personal goal setting, have a shared breakfast, and we workshop a particular topic of the day. At the moment, we've got 21 kids that are turning up from 6:30 a.m. in the morning. Four mentors from previous programs that have participated that are coming back. We've got 7 teachers that are giving of their time to come and train alongside the kids as equals, and about 7 police members that also come along and train with the kids as well.
How good's that?
The energy in the room is just fantastic. The two personal trainers, Anthony Ebrey from Perfit and Maxine Johnson from Believe to Achieve, are the two trainers, one on Tuesday, one on Friday. Tuesdays, in terms of our workshop, focus all on policing things, role of police, and some different messages we want to get across to the kids. And on Friday, our workshop looks at consequences and other life skills for the kids. So it's great.
Cyberbullying, I want to move on to this, and it's a topic that's touched me. And then I thought of you, and I've gone, need to get you onto the show to talk more about this, because you've run now for how many years have you been doing this?
Oh, it's probably a good 10 to 15 years delivering cyber safety messages.
Yeah, and it is a really – trolling is not a good thing. It really can affect people so, so badly to the point where – they might even take their own life. And, of course, if you're at that point, you need to talk about it with someone. Lifeline, there's a good opportunity, 13, 14, 11 for a start. But cyberbullying, unfortunately, we can connect in so many ways on the internet now, and those connections aren't always good, and bullying comes up far more than we want it to. So how are you addressing this with students in schools? And not only students, but you're running parent forums as well.
Yeah, exactly, PT. And Victoria Police has partnered with the Think You Know organisation, which has partnered with the Australian Federal Police, and the police forces from all states are combined for this initiative. So therefore, it's a standard package of information that we're presenting in both primary, secondary and community settings, because we know the instances of bullying and the effects that that can have cumulative over time that can be debilitating. And in the worst case scenario, there has been absolutely tragic outcomes. Mm. Some of the issues that I like to address, though, in terms of the harm, probably is around two particular areas: harm from those that we know and harm from those that we don't know. So when we're talking about the issue of randoms and others, because plenty of sites, gameplay, for et cetera, that might have chat functions, kids can connect with a whole range of different people, people that they don't know in the real world, and chat conversations can happen. So people that are using technology to have inappropriate contact with young people, we might be talking about the beginning of grooming type behaviour, can do that anonymously through various chat platforms where they're hanging out in sites that kids may be using. So we talk a little bit about some harm reduction strategies and the need to talk. The need, if they don't feel that something's okay, who is their network of trusted adults they can talk to? Reason for being adults, we don't expect kids to be able to solve all of the situations that they come across online, and nor to put it onto their friends either. To be able to talk to a trusted adult, opening up that line of dialogue with mum or dad, uncle, aunt, grandparents, trusted neighbour, whoever it is, everyone's network will look slightly different, but having five people that they can go to that will make the time, that will listen to what they say and believe what they say and then act upon that.
Mm.
So that's part of that particular strategy when we're talking about randoms and unknowns and that definition of what's a friend versus follower. The other one is their interaction with each other, those that they know, and predominantly it's through their connections at school is where most of these will happen, but where their conduct towards each other, which might be different in the playground, but when they go online or something's happened that they think it's okay to unload on another member of the school community, much like when they're there. So we're talking about their behaviour both online and offline, what's okay, what's not okay. Now, if we think back to our own childhood, we always wanted to be older than what we were at the time. So things they might be seeing online, watching or participating online, trying to say, guys, there will be a time when you'll transition into various platforms or other things that are age appropriate. There's lots of stuff that's there for you at the moment in terms of your current age that is engaging. But certainly some of the anecdotal things that I hear and see from involvement with schools is the type of language that kids will use when they're online in the games and in the chat play, because they might think that there's no accountability to that. No one's watching, no one's looking, and it's not discoverable. So therefore, some of the type of language, the offensive language that they're using, then it could be aimed at certain individuals because of incidents going on at the time. Now, we don't necessarily want to see every kid charged with appropriate legislation for it. What we want to do sometimes is sit down and talk about, look, how would you feel if the boot was on the other foot? If you were the victim, how would you feel with that behaviour as well?
Yeah, and that in itself has got to be difficult too, because I've heard people like that who have bullied other people and they ask that very question. They go, oh, I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yep. And I think what we're trying to develop is that sense of empathy and to know that, hang on, this is real. That despite your own experiences, someone who was the target of particular cyberbullying, and I generally at the moment have been starting off with a 7 or 8 minute video that looks at the experiences of a year 8 or 9 boy over in England that's was connected to a group of young people, but he put his hand up in class and answered a question. And that kicked off a course of conduct where he was the victim of emails, random phone calls, just a whole range of things.
Yep.
He also missed 3 opportunities to reach out and tell someone about, hey, I'm not okay and I need some help.
Yep.
Before he left a message on a video recorder where mum found it, and then mum's able to have a conversation with the principal and the harms begin to be repaired over time. But we track sort of through that. How did his body language change because he was the victim of that ongoing negativity for such a long period of time?
And cyberbullying now comes on top of schoolyard bullying as well and playground bullying. It's just opened up Pandora's box, hasn't it? I was subject to bullying myself at school. But back when I was at school, there weren't things like Are You OK Day and you weren't sure who to go to. So you pretty much said nothing. But if you did say something and it was found out, then it was 10 times worse again. So you just ended up copping what you copped.
Yeah.
And mine was of not only a verbal abuse, but a physical abuse as well. But I never said anything. And it wasn't until many, many years later, and it's only been recently, that I've been able to say, I was a victim of schoolyard bullying and start to talk about it.
It's interesting that you say that you didn't necessarily take any approaches to talk to someone, because in the video I'll stop it at a certain point with about 50 seconds to go, knowing what the outcome is. But there's 4 or 5 questions I ask the kids to reflect upon over the course of that. And one of them is whether they think the actions of those involved is serious enough that it could warrant police intervention, or if they think a crime has actually been occurring. And I'm amazed at different times when they see the cumulative harm, but I'll ask the question, okay, pop your hand up, which way you think it is. And many of the kids feel as though it's not at that level yet. And yet it's been ongoing. It has Which been is, absolutely yep. damaging. And then in the end, it shows that mum's contacted the school contacted police, police come in, and the harms are repaired and he renews friendships, which is what is a great outcome. But for kids often that think that if they speak up about the issue, and again hearing back from the kids saying, if they speak up, it could make it worse, it increases the target on their back. Or the other bit that they're often concerned about is that as parents, our solution is, well, get off the technology, I'll take the technology away. So they're disconnected from their friends, so we're re-victimising the victim. So we need to create the environment for our young people and ourselves as parents to say, even learn the technology with our young people, but also say, you can talk to me about these issues and I'm going to be that protective person. I will listen, I'll trust what you're telling me, and I'll act, and we can have a conversation at the school. What I've also found is schools are really supportive in terms of happy to reach out, work with police and with individuals. We just want the kids to learn about the potential harm and then look at how we can repair some of those relationships going forward.
Absolutely. It's intriguing stuff. And as a parent, so difficult to keep a grasp on, I guess, given the contacts that can be made through social media. And as a parent, it must be just a headache trying to keep up with what their kids are involved in on their technology, let alone monitoring that as well. I know as parents of youngsters myself, it's not an easy thing at all.
Yeah, exactly, PT. But I think also the issue in terms of the misuse of the communication is not only just a child cyberbullying type issue. Family violence that can happen through the use of technology. The increasing level of cyber scams and online scams that are happening. Talking to the Eureka Probus ladies tomorrow about latest cyber scams and things that they can do to protect themselves. So technology is an issue right across the spectrum of ages.
Yeah.
People use it in different ways to meet their age group at the time. But we just need to be aware that 95% of the technology is fantastic, can be used wisely. But hey, let's have our radar up for when things are not going okay, to know that it's okay to reach out and talk to someone, and that it's okay not to be okay, and to seek that help and assistance.
Leading Senior Constable Des Hudson, always a pleasure to catch up. You take care of yourself, mate. And
thanks, PT. Always a pleasure.
Look forward to hearing of the more of the great work that you do right throughout our community. It's 11 to 9.